now they're coupling off with lesbians. They arrested the female rapper lesbian the other day, thinking she had a gun. And she had a big old penis down in her pants that she uses on the girls that she pick up rapping. And the police thought it was a gun, had to get a female officer to frisk her. She walking around with a strap-on penis in her pants, walking around. Y'all think I made this stuff up? They thought it was a 45 caliber revolver. And they pulled this thing out like. Wait a minute. Whoa. Wait, I know the officers there like, is that Harry? Look, Harry. Harry, come over here, man. Come here, man. Look at this mess. Can you believe this mess, man? And she's standing looking all crazy. I think her name is, I can't remember. May or. What's her name?
Young
who?
Young M.A.
Young M.A. That's her. Young, see, I ain't making it up, so you know. Young M.A., the female rapper. She a cute little girl, too. But she covered in tattoo, wear a head, hair braided up, you know, just a thug life girl. And those young girls running after these female rappers like mad, seeing the female rappers as men. And they're using all these devices now to have sex with these young girls and got this stuff down their pants like some kind of animal. This, you got to stop sometime and ask God, is this really happening? Am I dreaming? Is something going on? It's not real. I got to wake out of this nightmare. This is really happening. And they're reporting on the news like it's just the way it is. Now, what would get into this young black girl's mind to make her do that? It's a demon. She's been divined upon. And the girls now are selling out to these lesbians because they got no guys, because they've been divined upon to believe that you don't need a man. In the home, the women tell the guy, I don't need a man. The daughter says, hey, look, I don't need a daddy. I don't need no man. And then the young boy says, I don't want to be a man. That's the curse. The mother says, I don't need you as a man. The daughter's angry as her dad, at her dad for not being there for her. So she don't want a man and don't want to have nothing to do with a man. And then the young boy takes the final blow. I don't want to be a man. Because I see my mama and my sister hating the man. I don't want to be the object of hatred that I see them expressing toward a man. So I'll become a homosexual to actually submit to female character so I can be accepted by these women that hate men. That's what men have done. They become like a woman, not to feel the vented hatred of a woman. But buddy, at some point, you need to get with God and make a stand. Let God forge you back into a man and be a two-fisted, thoroughbred man and not make any apologies for it. Don't trade your gonads in for acceptance by a Jezebel spirit that's forecasting two things, the Bible says. Witchcraft and whoredoms to destroy you, man. You're not in a pleasure palace having sex with a woman. That woman was sent by the devil to castrate you and destroy you. And here you are curled up in pleasure, just having sex. Yes, she's a freak. She'll do anything. But she's going to take your manhood with her when she leaves. That's the goal of it all. It's real. Genesis 3:16, what does it say? Genesis 3:16 is a familiar scripture. It tells us what? Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. And he shall do what?
Rule
over you. People hate that. They cringe. They expunge marriage vows now, that vow. Do you promise to honor and obey your husband? Women take that out the marriage vows. I'm not a child, and I'm not obeying anybody. We're leaving that out. We're going to write our own vows. That's that divined upon Jezebelian woman that's been bewitched by the world. And she don't even know she's actually coming out from under protection given and authorized by God. It's a shame. It's a crying shame. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So you see, the apostle says, I don't allow a woman to teach over nor usurp authority over the man. What he's dealing with is church order. I don't let the women rule over and usurp authority over the men. You say, can women teach? Yeah, under the authority of the man. A woman can do anything within the confines of ministry under the proper authority. But now we got rebels that don't get under any authority going to take over God's church. I'm the pastor. I'm the bishop. I'm the apostle. I don't answer the man. This thing is all spiritual now. Don't go for that all spiritual trash. That's a lie birthed in hell. God set the church in order physically. And the order cannot be breached, and it cannot be made of none effect. When people start doing that, you're dealing with witchcraft and sorcery at a high level. They hate this message. Man, you want to see some venting at me? You ought to see the stuff that comes my way from this kind of thing. They despise this because they've been brainwashed through feminism for the last 50 years to believe a lie the devil orchestrated to cause rebellion to rise up in society. And they went for it. So it's not about making you be quiet in church. It's about being under proper authority. The word there that's operative is the word usurp, over. Usurp, over. To take over, to rise up over is what's being confronted here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. 2 o'clock, let me pick it up real fast. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, how many women could even draw the breath to call their husband Lord? Whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if a man mistreats his wife, his prayers will be immediately cut off. Don't cut you off. Because you're not doing right to the person that you're responsible for. And so God will tell you, don't take authority lightly and don't try to be some kind of a dictatorial moron. You better do this in a spirit of humility and leadership without all that dictation and all that trying to rule somebody and coming down with an iron fist. This thing is about love that's manifested through servanthood. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you become a servant of all. It's about selfless servanthood that validates leadership. That's why, you know, these thug life witches don't have any selfless servitude. They try to make you bow the knee to them and do what they say. Unlawful authority always has to exert a lot of energy to control. Lawful authority has no energy exerted because it's lawful. When these women try to take over churches, they always got to always try to make sure you know I'm the prophetess. Trying to order deacons and order folk around and let you know I'm the woman of God. God placed me in this house. Look, man, nobody need all that. When you really got authority, you don't need to try to exert all that energy to prove yourself. You know that you're illegal. That's why you got to do all that garbage. That's why when I bring it up, you get so confrontational because you know you're illegal. Don't nobody get scared when a cop is going down the line writing tickets unless you're illegally parked. But I know I paid my meter, and he getting my car, it's taken care of. But if you illegally park, he writing those tickets. Well, I'm legally parked. I don't care if he's writing tickets. The illegal person is the one that always gets in a tizzy because they know they're illegal. That's why these women know you're illegal. And you know you're doing wrong. And you know God didn't call you. And you know this Bible says what it says because I'm reading it. And now you don't know what to do to defend yourself. So now you got to start talking about, well, what about Deborah? Hey, we ain't talking about Deborah. We're talking about you. We're talking about you now under the auspices of this New Testament and what God did to set up his church in the New Testament. They know Deborah. Your name is not even Deborah. Your name is Renee. So it don't matter. What happened to Deborah don't even matter. But read the story of Deborah in context and completely and see what Deborah said about what she did. And then you get the full story. So you see now, you can actually be used to affect your husband if you submit properly in the home when he's not saved. You might just lead him to Christ when he beholds your submissive character and see that God is real. Because she respects me more so than she ever has. She used to be a big mouth, loud mouth nut. She got saved and now she's submissive and she's taking care of being in the home and she's quiet and humble. It must be something to this salvation thing. Let me go check it out too. That's how you lead people to Christ as a woman. Not with your loud, big mouth yelling and stomping all around. 1 Timothy 3. What does it talk about? I won't read it, but it talks about the order of the church. If you're going to be a bishop, you must be what? The husband of one wife. Titus says the same thing again. There is no bishop that's not the husband of one wife. That disqualifies every woman on earth. That's why they try to have lesbian couples rule the church. And then the lesbian leader says, I have a wife. I'm the husband of one wife. You a woman. You see how stupid that is? You got to be a woman to be a wife. You don't even qualify for being a husband. You're insane. This thing is driving people into madness. You got to be the husband of one wife. And you qualify for leadership in the church because of your leadership in the home. It's the proving ground. The home is the proving ground for the church. See, you understand this about training up children when they grow up. The Bible says, see, people look at your kids and say, they're crazy, so you can't lead the church. No, you train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. That's what the Bible says. Old may be 70 years old before they get saved. I trained them up in the way they should go. That's as far as I can take it. Because you always, in every circumstance, whatever you do in life, never forget this, you always deal with the human will. You can't be made to do anything in this. I've seen people try to hold a person responsible for how their kids are, disqualifying them for something. That kid at 20, 25, 30 years old has a will. You train them up in the way they should go. And the Bible says when they're old, they won't depart from it. You can't be defining what old is. You might be dead and gone and they get saved. You did what he told you to do. Train them up in the way they should go. My responsibility ends right there. Don't carry people on your back that you're not responsible for. Well, maybe I did something wrong. Where did I go wrong? Maybe I should have. Maybe I would have, should have, could have. The same blood is available for everybody in the same basin. Same salvation available to everybody. Whatever you did, whatever was done wrong to you, you see how God expunged it from you? So whatever you did wrong, he'll expunge it from them if they come to him. You got to come to the Lord. The best thing you can tell him is you need to be saved. You need the Lord. You need to come to Jesus. I'm not your example. Jesus is. Come to him and be born again. Let him give you a new life. Well, I just can't forgive and I remember when, look, you going to hell. You better let this stuff go because the salvation process is available to everyone. Last one we'll cover as far as an example of obeying the Bible to set the house in order so God can build upon the proper foundation is The doctrine of once saved, always saved. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That's as plain as the nose on all of our faces. How can you be once saved, always saved? And he just told you, if you walk away from it after going through these experiences, you can't even be brought back again. You see how ignorant that is to believe that? That's actually insane to believe in Calvinism. What's Calvinism? It's the tulip principle that says that T, you're totally depraved, but you can't save yourself. You have an unconditional election done by God. In other words, you were born saved and not saved based on God's election. So a baby born today, this morning, is born damned because God didn't elect that baby. You have to be crazy, insane to believe that. You're talking about guys standing in front of massive groups of people like John MacArthur and Charles Stanley. They believe insanity, but they look like normal Baptist guys. But what they believe is insane. Unconditional election. God elects and chooses who's going to be saved before they're even born. So you're born damned and you can't change your lot in life. That's insanity. Limited atonement. Jesus only died for the elected people, not everybody. These are the principles of Calvinism that people believe. So when they say they're a Calvinist and they believe in it, you're talking to an insane person been driven into madness. And the last two letters for tulip, I and P. I is irresistible grace, meaning that if you've been chosen, that God's grace is irresistible, you will come to it. It's going to happen because he chose you. You can't fight it. The free will is annihilated and eliminated in Calvinism. God saves you all by himself without you cooperating. He chose you. He saves you. He gives you grace. You will accept it. And the last one is perseverance of the saints. That's called once saved, always saved. If he saved you and chose you, you will persevere. You will be saved. Everything I just told you is insane because no human will is engaged. We just showed you the human will being engaged in Hebrews chapter 6. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 26. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So how do you think you're going to escape the judgment that Moses' folks received by trying under God's, trying underfoot God's grace? Look what he says in verse 26. I read starting at 28, but look at 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. If we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for sin. What does he say? If you receive not the love of the truth, God's going to send you a strong delusion that you shall be damned. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You better beware of this Calvinism trash and once saved, always saved, and unconditional eternal security. It's birthed in hell. And you got people that believe this with a vengeance, with a fervor attached to them. They are angry. They will fight you because they're not sure of it themselves. They know that that's not real. That's not true. That's why they get so mad about it. They're probably sitting there lost themselves trying to prove they're saved. Now you got to take an account through pride that if you believe in this, I must be an elect one. I must be a chosen one. You know what the basis of it is? slavery, and they justified slavery saying that the black people were not the elect ones. That's where it got a seedbed in Southern Baptist churches. That they justified beating these folk and hanging them and burning them alive and killing them and castrating them and slaughtering them, saying they're not the elect of God anyway. If they had been the elect, they wouldn't be slaves. You see how warped the human mind is? You will go insane outside of God and lose your mind. And here a black person is believing in the tenets that came from something that justified slavery and trying to believe in this trash. Anything that undermines and disempowers the human will came from hell. You must will to be saved. You must will to stay saved. And you must will to make it in. If your will is not engaged, you'll be lost. You've got to willfully choose. That's what the Bible says. Whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the waters that are freely given. I lay before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Wherefore you choose life. Your will is engaged all through the Bible. He can't make you do anything. You must accept the offer that God makes to you. So you see now, everything about this is about building a house on a firm foundation. These are just three things I just chose randomly. But there are hundreds of things in the Bible like this. It says what it says. It meant what it said. You got to stand on that to have a firm foundation for God to build the house. Unless the Lord builds the house on the firm foundation of this word, you don't have anything. You have no foundation. You got to know that. It's all organic. Before the house can be built, you got to first be born again. You can't build on a person's life unless they're born again, because they're not even the life type to build upon. So you got to, first of all, do what? Repent and turn from what you were. See, most people in churches have never repented. So it's impossible for you to be born again if you never turn from your old life. So not preaching repentance, the people just go and offer the right hand of fellowship and join the church rolls. And they call that salvation. That's the most ignorant thing on this planet. And people are lost. Lost and condemned to hell because they joined religious structure and organization. They were never born again. You got to be born again through repentance, acknowledging your sins, confessing your sins, and turning from your sins. And you can only sin against God. You know from that fact, everybody's not saved. So you got religiosity, false prophets, and all kinds of weird stuff flowing around down here. They're seeking to emulate God, but it's not God. If there's a word in the Bible like pseudo-apostolos, which means a false apostle, a pseudo-prophet, which means a false prophet, that tells you there must be real ones. But the real ones, since it's a narrow way and few there be that find it, are very lean and thin to find. There's not many of them. So you got to be able to identify them. And when you're not repentant, you can't see them. Did you know that? That you can't even see the real people called by God if you're not repentant. You'll raise up what? Golden calves. Since I can't see the real, I think everything is valid. And I paint with this broad brush, think making everybody saved. Because I can't see what's saved and what's not saved. I don't know what's real or what's false. I don't have any way of having a worldview or perception of reality because I'm not even born again. And all that is seen on somewhere like Facebook. Most of the people dialoguing on Facebook are not even saved. So when you're going back and forth with them, you're talking to somebody not even born again, that's not even part of the household of God, and you're trying to explain a spiritual principle to a carnal mind. And the Bible says the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you're trying to talk to somebody that can't even comprehend what you're saying to them. Why keep wasting your time like that? The swine is the carnal mind. Don't cast your pearls before swine. The swine are all those people that have the carnal minds. He said, don't talk to them about spiritual things because they can't understand what you're telling them. So what has to happen? For organic salvation, once entered into to take hold of you, you couple it with fasting and prayer, with meditating on the word day and night. What are you doing? You're feeding what you become. I'm growing in it. I'm letting it take me over. I'm letting it change my mind. I'm letting it change my perceptions and my lifestyle and the way I think. I'm letting this thing come upon me to deliver me from the bowels and the effects of witchcraft. I told you beginning this message, we walk in witchcraft all day long. Mediums are divining on your mind all day. You got to have something input to you to wash you clean from the effects of witchcraft. This is a dynamic power given by God to clean us, sanctify us, saturate us with another form of life to deliver us from evil. That's the prayer that Jesus prayed. Deliver us from evil. We're saturated in the atmosphere by witchcraft all day long. You don't even have to see the medium. You can feel stuff hitting your mind just driving down the street or walking through this hotel. It could be a man lusting after you in the lobby. You can feel the effects of the lust hitting your mind. Having all these weird thoughts come. That's somebody divining on you. They want you. They're looking at you thinking, I'd like to get a hold of her. Man, I'd take her back in the back. I'd wring her out like a wet rag. Man, I'd turn her inside out. And that force will project toward your mind this stuff. You got to know it. You can be in the atmosphere of another person and pick up the insides of them, the lust in them. You can feel it. You can feel it. You can feel this thing just. It's reverberating like a tuning fork going off in them. That's the divination of forces. That's spiritual forces. You can try to bathe in it and like it and try to model yourself for them so they can really get off on you. Or you can recognize this thing and cast down these imaginations and back it off of you.
Amen.
Or you can bathe in it. Your choice. If you're stupid, you'll be bathing in it.
Right.
It's what's going on. We're fighting against forces. Let's close up with these two last scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, 19. Ephesians 2, 19. Look what he says here. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You're becoming the habitation of God. He's building a house. He's building you into this person that can house him. And everything you go through is designed to refabricate you, remodel you, refurbish you, so God can live in you. That's what it's all about. And you know, it's a lot of cutting off a lot of stuff and pruning back and getting rid of stuff. Excess debris that would defile God's habitation. That's what he's getting rid of. Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 21. Wrap it up with this last scripture. And that'll be it for today. Revelation 21, 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So, you know, a new city is coming down from heaven, and it's going to be adorned for God, and it's going to be a new Jerusalem that Jesus Christ will reign in and through. But look what he says here. Go over to verse 14 in chapter 21. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And you see the foundations are the names of the apostles. And you find earlier in verses 12 through 13 that you had these 12 gates. And the 12 gates had the names of the sons of Jacob, which made up the tribes of Israel. So the gates, the gateways into this new city have the names of the 12 sons of Jacob, and the foundation has the name of the 12 apostles, letting you know that patriarchal male authority is the foundation of this city. So you see now, what are we up against through witchcraft and sorcery? And the Lord building a house. He's building a house of patriarchal authority that honors male leadership in the midst of an environment that has become saturated with witchcraft, lifting up female leadership. Why are the women raising up like this, and why are they so adamant, and why are they so mad? Here's the key to understanding this uprising and this rebellion. The women have been convinced by Satan that God has done them a disservice by making them women. That's what it is. Why'd he make me a woman and make me unable to lift the same stuff this guy can? Why can't I do what he does? Why can't I be equal to him? You understand that equality is not defined by difference. In other words, you can be equal, but just different. You see what I'm saying? They think that not being the same makes them unequal. That's not true. If he assigned you a position, that's valid and that's allotted to you. Accept God's assignment, embrace it, and walk in it. But no, I'm looking at him. And why does he have to have that position and I got to be here, relegated to here? That's the same mind Satan had before he fell. Same exact mind Satan had. I don't like where I'm relegated to in your hierarchy and under your kingdom. And I covet the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he was jealous of. And that's what's happening to women. They're becoming bathed in a satanic spirit. And it's making them antichrist. And now this thing is about to march into the White House. And it's going to embolden all these feminists and lesbians and thug-like women who hate God. Their problem is they despise God. I hate God. We're going to expunge God from the environment by denying and destroying every man that would dare represent God. That's why Jezebel went after the prophets first. She wanted to silence what? The voice of God. I don't want nobody talking in God's name under masculine authority. Because I know what? That's legitimate. That prophet is legitimate. I've gained access to the throne illegally. Illegitimate authority hates legitimate authority every time on time. You can go on a job and have the credentials to lead it, and the person that's there illegitimately been given a spot because they slept with the boss is going to be threatened by you. Why? Because I got the credentials. You just got some sex. That's where everything's in chaos. The person who shouldn't be leading, everybody in the office knows, dog, why they put this person up in here? They're about as dumb as a box of cornflakes. They can lead me to the toilet. Yeah, but they got their legs open to the boss. That's why the whole place is in chaos. They got the wrong people in the wrong place trying to lead something. That's why the church is chaotic. Effeminate men, lesbians, and rebellious witches and warlocks taking over the church, and the church looks like the pit of hell. That's why God has to sanctify some people outside of the church environment and religion, reform the church, and now God is engaged in Ezekiel chapter 37. Dry bones in a desert place in the pews. He's saying, come out of her, my people, and be not a partaker of her plagues. Reform yourself. Over here is the body of Christ. I'll raise it up, inspired with the Holy Ghost, and then begin to matriculate it through the earth as an army. He's going to sanctify the church from the church. He's about to separate the real body of Christ from religion and establish himself a ordered government where everybody accepts their allotted place. You'll stand in your own lot and be satisfied. I'm not a woman trying to contend with leadership because I don't want to be a man. When you get the desire to be a man expunged from your heart, you'll stop being a whore. Did you know that? A whore is just a woman acting like a no good man. That's what she is. She's just a whore because she's trying to be a dude. Taught that by no good men. They use up women, see how they live with everybody, they get what they want. I'm going to be just like that no good man. And now she's become a whore. Not emulating a man, but emulating a no good man. When you stop trying to be a dude and stop trying to be some kind of a thug, your insides will settle down because you don't have the energy of trying to contend with a guy. Trying to run faster than a man, lift more weights than a man, shoot a basketball better than a man. You know they got now, they got girls football teams in high school with guy cheerleaders. The girls want to be men so badly. This thing is eating them up. It's driving them crazy. So you know what God's going to do? He's going to come out from amongst them and he's going to ignore them and set up his church the way he said it's going to be, without a spot nor a blemish. He's going to forecast his power through it, oblivious to what the devil says about it. March to the earth. Anybody that wants to be saved, get on this ark. See, the ark is going to be concealed, sealed up to the order of God. If you want to be saved, come over here, because we're not coming over there. We're not compromising. We're not going to be tolerant. We're not going to be politically correct. We're not going to use your vernacular and your wording. We're not going to accommodate you, and we're not downgrading anything for you. If you're married in adultery, that's what you are. We're not downgrading the word one inch for you. It is what it is. That's the way it's got to be. We don't bring the word down one link on the chain. Every I dotted, every T crossed, he said what he meant. He meant what he said. If you want to be saved, you got to elevate. You got to separate and elevate to be saved. We don't bring this thing down for anybody. We don't accommodate anybody's pitiful, lowly, downtrodden state trying to downgrade the gospel to allow for them. You come over here and God will raise you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll exalt you in due season. He will take care of you, but you got to come his way. This thing is real. If the Lord does not build the house, every laborious thing we undertake will be a waste of time. The Lord and his word must be honored at all times. He honors his word and exalts it higher than his name. That's where we've got to make our stand. If you're a woman, you better get as far away from this feminine rebellion as you can, because he's going to destroy this thing. If you read the Bible and understand it, the Bible is a story about feminine rebellion. That's what the Bible is about. It starts at Eve and matriculates all the way through the Bible with Samson and Delilah and David and Bathsheba and Jezebel and Ahab and Athaliah trying to take over, and gets in the New Testament with Herod and Herodias, and it ends up with a woman riding the beast, the whore of Babylon. It's all about female rebellion. That's what it's about. Satan got into Eve. Eve brought down Adam. The woman in cahoots with Satan is what God's problem is. And you better double check, triple check yourself to make sure every vestige of a Jezebel spirit is gone out of you, because he's going to destroy everywhere that thing is housed. When Jehu and the boys finally arrived on the scene, they destroyed every vestige of Jezebel, annihilated them. You can trick yourself and make Jezebel religious, and make Jezebel the prophetess of God, and make Jezebel the voice of God speaking to you, and make Jezebel a pastor or an apostle. You got that Jezebel spirit trying to take over God's house and his church, calling yourself a servant of God. The Bible says that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And don't even marvel, don't be mystified. His ministers become ministers of righteousness. Get every trace of that feminine rebellion out of you. And you guys who have been castrated trying to make your mama a pastor and your auntie a prophetess and your sister a bishop and an elder, you better repent of your rebellion against God as a man trying to lift up women over his house, and get with some men of God to be taught how to be a man again. Because your gonads are gone. You gave them to the woman. That's exactly what Deborah said about the guy who should have been taking charge. You gave your honor to a woman. So when you begin to quote Deborah, you better read the whole story. This thing is real. Unless the Lord builds a house, everyone laboring is laboring in vain. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, take these words and quicken them. Make them alive to the hearers. It's time to raise up a new breed. It's time to destroy and deconstruct the works of the devil in people's souls. The word of God is like a hammer, the Bible says. It's a hammer that will break you up. It will break you up. It will dissect you, go through you, and cut you up like a sword going through hot butter. God, it's time to see this thing brought back alive in order. God, we're fasting for 10 days here, not to try to bring some kind of a revolution to the earth or a revolution to the world, but we got to deconstruct everything in us that's not accommodating to you. We got to see that new man come to preeminence at the expense of the old man. Prayers to lift up the new man, fasting to degrade and tear down the old man. Denying the old, lifting up the new, until we're made over again. We've got to have a generation of power. We need power, power, power. Online, God, we need power to destroy this devil. We come against the power of witchcraft. We've spoken against it today. Every week, witchcraft tries to attack us and destroy us. But God, witchcraft is at work down here. Soul power is the generator for witchcraft. Selfishness and me into myself is driving me insane with the witchcraft. God, I'm asking you to be a quick witness, a swift witness against witchcraft. Everywhere it is, reverse it. Everybody divining against us, reverse that divination. Every spell sent, reverse it. Every spell sent against our kids to make them delusional, that reverse it. The damage done to their souls, but listen to that music out there. Reverse that thing, God. Everything done to husbands and wives to break up marriages, reverse that divination. That spell casted on that man's mind by that girl that works with to break up his home, reverse that spell she cast on that guy. That divination from that man at the office that's trying to get that woman to leave her husband, reverse that thing in Jesus' name. Reverse this takeover of your church. Reverse this witchcraft in the pulpit. Reverse homosexuality in the pulpit. Reverse homosexual praise and worship leaders. Reverse everything, God, that's coming against you through the power of witchcraft. They're dividing up forces. They're dividing up powers. They're dividing up all kinds of things seeking to destroy the body of Christ. The Jezebel spirit. God, I curse that thing and ask you, God, to send fire on the earth to devour it. Totally eliminate it. Disintegrate it in the name of Jesus. God, I'm calling upon the power of the throne of God, the heavenly realm. Throne level life, God, to come to earth to totally annihilate your enemies. God, destroy marvelously the enemies that raise against you and rise up to try to destroy your word and your church and your people. God, be a witness against them in Jesus' name. Reverse everything the devil's doing. Where it's trying to cut off support to this ministry. Reverse it in Jesus' name. All the mental anguish and gymnastics and divination and all the tribulation of people's souls, the cowardice in men that's making them afraid to stand up and just be a man of God and walk in this thing and doing and be active in God's kingdom and do exploits in God's kingdom. I reverse this power. This guy, these men thinking that being docile and being totally emaciated and just totally emasculated is some form of humility. I curse you in Jesus' name. God, stand some men up to walk out here in righteousness and confront your enemies and destroy the work of the devil in Jesus' name. On this fast, God, as you see us decreasing, we ask you to increase. As we bathe and marinate in the word of God, the praise and worship of God, the things of God, God, let this thing take a hold on us. Destroy every sickness, every disease, all infirmities, everything that's holding us up and holding us back. Destroy it in Jesus' name. God, God, it's time for a new work. It's time for a new generation. It's time to see these people, these young people bound by this hip-hop spell, released from this thing. This thing is on them like a dead man. They walk around like dead people, dumb, ignorant, with this moronic spirit on them. God, lift this curse off of these young people. Jesus' name, lift this witchcraft off of everyone. Come against this witchcraft. Curse this witchcraft. I damn this witchcraft. Anything that's propagated through witchcraft to try to take over the White House and put a woman in power. All you witches praying for that. I reverse you in Jesus' name. I curse you in Jesus' name. Let my word send forth an armada of angels to war against that thing. Right now I dispatch the armies of heaven to destroy the yokes of witchcraft trying to lead this nation into error through female leadership. I curse you in Jesus' name. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. God, dispatch the angels to fight on behalf of your word. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12. Children are your oppressors. Women rule over you. Oh my people, those that lead you in the error. Let the angelic forces empower those words because of my prayers and expose everything that's done in the dark. Every dark thing that's been done, bring it to the light. Every payment that's been made, everything that's been said, discover every tape, every email, every message, everything the devil is trying to conceal. God, tear the cover off of it in Jesus' name. Tear the cover off of it. Bring calamity. Bring chaos. Bring destruction in Jesus' name. And give us the time to harvest these last few souls for your glory and for your honor. I beseech you, oh God, to send force on this planet. The earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You have the final say so on everything. God, don't let a witch take over. Don't suffer a witch to live. A lesbian Jezebel witch trying to stand against the armies of the living God. God, come with an urgent fervor. Come with fire on the earth. God, destroy that yoke. The yoke is always taken off by this because of the anointing. The anointing still breaks the yoke. God, come on. Let's just go. Let's just destroy this final barrier to your will and what you want to be done. Send the angels. Send the forces. It's an invisible warfare for the human mind. We feel the repercussions of it, but this thing is an atmospheric thing. It's around us all the time. Everywhere you go, you can feel this sinister force of witchcraft in the atmosphere, the way the people dress, the way they look, the way they walk, the way they talk. Everybody putting on yoga pants and strutting around with all their female organs exposed. That's not normal. That's witchcraft. It's something taking hold of folks' minds. God, send your word. Come on. I mean, what do we have to do to have this word come into the arena to destroy these yokes of witchcraft on everybody's mind? 10 days, God, of fasting, prayer, in a normal, level-headed way to destroy these bands of wickedness. Isaiah 58 said these bands of wickedness will be broken after the fast that you have chosen. Break these bands of wickedness in Jesus' name. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Oh God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going to wrap it up for today. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Stand where you are here and we'll pray for you to be saved. If you're not saved, but we have the internet over live stream, we'll pray the prayer of faith for you to be saved. In the final analysis, if you're not born again, everything I just said makes no sense to you. You're lost. You're damned. You're going to hell without Jesus Christ. You got to make an informed decision to say, look, I know I'm lost and I'm damned. I need to repent of my sin to be saved. Hanging around church or religious activity won't save you. You'll be damned and lost. Hanging around looking at church and never being born again. So if you stand here, if you're not saved, we'll pray for you. If you're not saved, but we have live stream, we'll pray for you. And just pray this prayer after me. Everybody too proud to come forth and say that they want to be born again will stay damned because you don't get saved in your heart. I'll pray in my heart. You're damned because you're ashamed of Jesus Christ. You don't want to come and say, look, I need him to save me because I'm lost. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I need a Savior. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. And God, I'm coming to you forthrightly, just confessing what I am. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I confess all my sins. I did it. I'm responsible for them. I'm the one you're looking for. But I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the cross and asking you, Jesus, to save my soul. I believe you were born of a virgin. I believe you died on the cross for me. You were resurrected the third day that I might have eternal life. And you've sent the Holy Ghost for me to fill me to be able to live this life. So right now, God, I divest myself of the old life to receive the new life. I am now confessing my faults before you, my sins before you, wanting you to expunge the sin from my life and save my soul. Do it for me, God, that I might be born again. I acknowledge what I've been, and I also acknowledge what you're able to make me. And I'm dependent on you and what you can do to me and through me to change my life. And I thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now stay in the word, stay under the right teaching, stay in prayer, seek the Lord. This is a warfare you just got into, and you got to fight. Anybody telling you anything different from that is lying to you. It's a battle from start to finish. You war your way in, you got to fight your way out of this world to live eternally. It's a continuous warfare. It's not going to let up. It's not going to be easy. That's why I got to stay with the Lord to walk through this process with you. So to wrap it up for today, remember prayer, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every night, it's going to be picked up over these next 10 days now, because we're praying with purpose and with a target in mind. So prayer every night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. These are for the saints that mean business, folks that mean to get out of here and not playing around. You can see the handwriting is on the wall. We've reached the end of an age. You got to fight like never before. 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. The prayer line, 9 o'clock tonight and every night. Also remember Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministries.org. We paint the picture about what we're here to do and what we're aiming to get done. It's not your grandmama's church. We're here to actually bring about a place that will condition the saints for an end time stand. www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate to contribute to Dunamis Tabernacle. We appreciate y'all giving. Remember the fast. Don't be bound by trying to starve yourself to death. Just do what you know you need to do to actually have the energy to do what you do every day, but stay in a fasting mode in your mind and in your soul, putting yourself before the Lord, telling the Lord, I'm serious. I want out. I want change, not only in me, but in the church. We need power in the church. We can't be sustained here. We've got to move on to a higher level. And I present myself before you to be one of the people that will be a leading edge person in this process. I want to be used to move the church to a high level. And I'm willing to sacrifice up myself to have it done. In Jesus' name. See you back here next week. Remember, Bible study is Wednesday night, 7:30. Stay in prayer. Remember to bombard heavy heaven on Halloween night, Monday night. Bombard heaven against these kids being hurt by anybody that's crazy enough to injure a kid out there, and they do exist. Bombard heaven, because it's bad right now. Stay away from everything evil. Stay away from the devil's kingdom and his systems. And for God's sake, whatever you do, stay out of the matrix and be blessed. Have a good week.